The following message was given by Brother Abraham Shaw and Brother Edwin Wrighton in the church in New York City, January 1st, 2017. The title of the message is Speaking for the Building Up of the Body. Scripture verses are 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 26 through 40.
We pray, Lord, you would unveil us and you would speak to each one of us. Lord, we love you. We give you the first place this morning.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. So we come further in our study of the book of 1 Corinthians. And this week we are studying 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 26 through 40. But this section continues, obviously, the previous sections. And we saw in the previous weeks that the burden of the Apostle Paul in this section is for the building up of the church. I'll say that again. The burden of the Apostle Paul in this section is for the building up of the church. And particularly in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we come to the matter of speaking. And there is one kind of speaking that builds up the self, and there is another kind of speaking called prophesying that builds up the church. And the Apostle Paul, throughout this chapter, encourages the saints, which is in Corinth, but that actually encouragement is actually for all of us as well. In verse 1 of this chapter, the Apostle writes, "Pursue love and desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy." Then in verse 4, it says, "He who prophesies builds up the church." And then in verse 3, very interestingly, it says, "He who prophesies speaks building up." So I want to dwell a little bit on that verse. What does it mean for someone to prophesy, or for a prophecy to speak building up? And we know, I believe in our study, that to prophesy is not mainly to foretell the future, but actually is to speak forth Christ and to speak for Christ. But why do we say that? Now you consider, what can build up the church? What can build up the church? Well, we know from the Bible that the church, especially in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 through 14, that Paul, the Apostle Paul, said, "I laid a foundation," and we know that's Christ. And then he writes in verse 12, "But if anyone builds upon it, the foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, grass, stubble." And so we know that as believers, we are all builders. And we all build upon the foundation, which is Christ. But it matters which type of element that we build with. We can build with the elements of gold, silver, or precious stones, or we can build with wood, grass, stubble, and hay. And we know from that section of the word in chapter 3 that the test is fire, right? What lasts after the fire passes through? And so we know that actually what lasts is the gold, the silver, and the precious stones. And what does gold signify? Gold signifies the Father's divine nature. The silver signifies the redemptive work of the Son. And the spirit and the precious stones signify the Spirit, God the Spirit, in his transforming work to make us the stones for God's building. So we see from this section, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, that what builds up the church is only the triune God himself. Or another way to say it is what builds up the church is Christ as the embodiment of the triune God. So here, when a believer prophesies in a proper way, he can speak building up. But what does that mean? That means he can speak this Christ for the building up of the church. So the proper speaking actually is the speaking of Christ. I was impressed that the Lord, what he cares for is not so much the outward things, but actually what he cares for is the inward. And we know this, right? The things which we are seeing are temporary, but the things which are unseen are eternal. And so often, if you're like me, we look at the things that are seen, or in this case, the things that we hear. We may say, "Oh, that brother spoke so well, and that's very good. But what did he speak? Was that Christ? Was that the gold? Was that the silver? Was that the precious stones?" In God's eyes, without those elements in our speaking, actually our speaking does not build up the church. I was also reminded, you know, in the book of Revelation, the first church in the epistle to the seven churches, the church in Ephesus. And in that particular epistle, the Lord commended the church. He said that he acknowledged their works, their labor, their endurance, and the fact that they have borne all things because of the Lord's name and have not grown weary. But verse 4, chapter 2, verse 4 of Revelation says, "But one thing I have against you, that you have left your first love." So in that passage, we see the Lord's view is not so much on the outward works. It wasn't the fact that they bore all things or the fact that they labored. Actually, what the Lord cared for was the source of all of that work. Is the source the first love? And in this case, the first means the best. Was that the best love? Was that work out of the best love? In the same way, when we speak for the Lord, what the Lord cares for is there Christ? Is there Christ in that speaking? So brothers and sisters, we have to realize this is not a small matter, right? In the church meetings, there are a lot of speaking. But what the Lord cares for is that that speaking dispenses Christ, is a speaking forth of Christ for the saints to receive and for the building up of the church. And so, you know, when you consider that, you may consider like me, wow, that is such a high requirement. And brothers and sisters, I'll tell you, it is a high requirement. God's requirement is absolute. Only Christ can build the church. And if we see this, then we have to consider, okay, well, what about my speaking? How can I have this Christ? How can I speak forth this Christ? Well, we understand, right? If we don't have, we can't give. So we must have this Christ in order to speak forth this Christ. And I very much appreciated 1 Corinthians 14:31. It says, "For you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged." In this verse, I see two things I'd like to point out. One is this word can, and the second is this word learn. And so can implies a capacity. As babies, babies are born in the human life with a capacity to speak. But a one-month-old does not speak. I would be very surprised if you brought a one-month-old baby and it could speak. But someone who is a little older can speak something more. So for example, I have two young boys. My youngest son is a year and a half, and he can say words like baba, mama, those kind of words. And that's normal. That's where he's at in his growth in life. And my other son is three, and he can tell you a lot more. He can tell you about his dinosaurs, he can tell you about his day at school, and that's normal. And then we all here are adults, and we should be able to speak even more, right? Because of the growth in the human life. In the same way, in order to speak forth Christ, we have the ability and the capacity, but that needs to be developed by the growth in life. And how do we grow in life? Well, it's a daily matter. It's a moment-by-moment matter. And I'll come more to that. The second word I in that verse that impressed me was the word learn. So when you prophesy, all may learn. Well, in order to learn, there must be some sort of teaching, some content. Well, where does the content and teaching in our speaking come from? Well, it must come from the scripture, right? It comes from the word of God. So in order to be ones who can prophesy for the building up of the church, we must be those who spend time in the word and allow the word to be deposited in our being. Colossians 3:16 tells us, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly," right? "In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another." And the verse goes on in different manners. But there, I appreciated, we need to allow the word to dwell. So on the one hand, our need is to cooperate by spending time in the word, and not just in a superficial reading or doctrine, but actually we need to exercise our spirit to contact the Spirit in the Word. On the other hand, the Word becomes real to us and becomes experiential to us in our daily living, right? We know in John 16, it says, "The Spirit is the Spirit of reality, and He will guide us into all the reality." So the Word explains and has all the reality. But how do we enter into that? Well, we need the Spirit. We need to spend time in fellowship with the Lord, and we need to spend time in the Word of God. I was impressed that we all have the all-inclusive Spirit in our spirit. Brothers and sisters, do you realize that? That God, this triune God, has been processed to become the all-inclusive Spirit in your spirit? I hope you realize this. It was fresh to me this week that this Spirit that indwells us is not a passive spirit, but this Spirit, the capital S Spirit, who indwells our lower S human spirit, is active and functioning. You know, and I'll just point out a few verses that I enjoyed from this. You know, 1 John 2:27, it tells us that the Spirit is the anointing within us, and that the anointing teaches us concerning all things. Have you had some experience concerning this? You know, the Holy Spirit moves within us to allow us to know what God likes and what God doesn't like. Have you ever been in a store looking to purchase something and you pick it up? Maybe it's a tie for the brothers or a dress or something, and you just feel, I need to put it back. Well, why is that? Because there's some anointing within us. Maybe God doesn't like that. Or how about this? You know, married couples, we often speak a lot with our spouses, and sometimes we're a little bit loose. I don't know, this is just me, okay? So sometimes I speak something a little bit loose, and as I'm speaking, sometimes something within me is not so happy. I mean, maybe it's my wife that's not so happy too, but something within me is not so, what is that? Well, that is the teaching, the anointing within me, the Spirit moving to say, don't say it anymore. Don't say that. You should apologize, right? And so in our daily living, day by day, moment by moment, this Spirit is functioning within us, at least in this aspect, to tell us, this is what God loves. This is what God doesn't love. You should stop speaking. You should don't do this or go do that. Go speak to that brother. Go speak to that sister. That's the anointing. But oftentimes, you know, the anointing exposes us. This teaching exposes me. And so I appreciate this other verse in Romans 8:26 tells us that the Spirit joins in to help us in our weakness. Brothers and sisters, don't we realize we're all weak vessels? We need the Spirit to join in to help us in our weaknesses. And the Spirit in that verse also intercedes for us, right? We don't even know how to pray sometimes, but the Spirit is there interceding for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And I'll just point out a few more verses. We also know, right, the Spirit sanctifies us. The Spirit transforms us. But I also appreciate the Spirit fills us. The Spirit fills us, brothers and sisters. In our daily living, we need to spend time to be filled by the Spirit of God. And then the Spirit can overflow from us. You know, in John chapter 7, it says that out of our innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Brothers and sisters, my feeling is that this is the proper way to speak, right? In our daily living, we spend time with God in the Word, and moment by moment, we spend time to exercise our spirit, to contact the Spirit in every situation. We allow this Spirit, who is functioning, to operate in our beings, to fill us. And then when we come together, not just on the Lord's days, but on every meeting, right? In the home meeting, in the group meeting, in the prayer meeting, all the meetings, then the Spirit can well up and overflow from us. And in this way, we will have the content, right? We will have the proper content of Christ to speak something forth. Then when we speak, it's not just our interest, it's not just ourself, it's not just our learnings, but it is something of Christ that has been wrought into our being, worked into us, that we can bring forth for the saints to appreciate, for the saints to enjoy, and for the saints to have Christ dispensed into them. In this way, our meetings will be rich, our meetings will be uplifted, and our meetings will be the real exhibition of Christ. Amen. And I'd like to end my portion of the speaking with two other verses. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 and 20. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. And I very much appreciated this warning as a balancing word to me, because as I came into this study, I realized, wow, to speak for God is a great matter. It's a great matter because this, through this speaking, is the building up of the church. And actually, you consider God is actually a speaking God. You know, in Hebrews 1, it says that, right? God, having spoken in many ways in the old. And then Hebrews 1, 2, it says that he is speaking today in the Son. So our God is a speaking God. And as his sons, we also must be speaking persons. But what do we speak? What do we speak? We must be those who speak forth Christ as the embodiment of the triune God. So if you say that, if you put that as a bar, you maybe are like me and say, well, then I'm not going to speak anymore. That's too much. That's too high. Well, the bar doesn't change. The bar is, that's God's standard. But we have the Spirit, right? And so we, the Word exhorts us, do not quench the Spirit. So day by day, do not quench the Spirit, right? If the Spirit operates to speak to that person, don't quench the Spirit. If the Spirit says, don't go there, don't say that. Well, don't quench the Spirit. Don't do that, right? But also in the meetings, the Spirit is flowing. Do not quench the Spirit. The second is do not despise prophecies. Do not despise prophecies. And, you know, of course, there's a matter, we should not despise one another's prophecies, right? But I would say, at least for me, probably for you, the first prophecy we often despise is our own, right? You may say, oh, someone shared that. I don't have enough. I'm not good. Well, it says, the Bible charges us, right? It's a command. Do not despise prophecies. So brothers and sisters, I am full of hope and full of encouragement because the reality of this, the Lord is recovering among us today. The Lord will have the proper meetings according to 1 Corinthians 14, but he needs our cooperation, right? Day by day, brothers and sisters, spend time in the Word. Brothers and sisters, day by day, spend time to exercise your spirit in fellowship with the Lord. Then the Lord will have the rich, overflowing meeting. Then the Lord will have a meeting in which each one has. The Lord will have a meeting where an unbeliever comes and they realize God is among you. So praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. We have the way to build up the body of Christ. We have the way to build up the church. It's by our proper speaking.
Praise the Lord. Amen. We need the proper speaking. Amen. I am afraid I need an explanation before I start, or you are going to misunderstand what I'm saying. A brother has spoken very clearly, very directly about prophesying. But I discovered that some sisters are frustrated because they are sure and they know absolutely right now they can't prophesy. So what you need to realize, whenever we open our mouth in a meeting, we have to have the right focus. As our brother already mentioned, the right focus is Christ. When we open our mouth to speak in a meeting, we must speak Christ. Okay, but that does not mean when we speak Christ, we are speaking a revelation. At the end, I will share a little bit concerning prophesying. Where prophesying, where the prophets are really. You know, there is no church of only prophets. Even when you consider Acts 13, the church in Antioch, even there the serving ones were prophets and teachers. So please don't misunderstand. Now we come to the most bothering verse in this whole portion, and that is 1 Corinthians 14:26. Let's read that verse together.
One has
Amen. Again, what it says here, whenever you come together, each one has. That has offended some saints. Each one has. I don't have. Well, whenever we have the morning revival, after the end of the week, there are a few lines for you to write something. As you have morning watch every day, I believe that all of us have morning watch in the presence of the Lord, right? So then, the Lord will speak something to us. We will experience something of the Lord. Write it down. And when you come to the meeting, each one has. But if we just enjoy the Lord at morning watch and then goodbye, Lord, then no one has. So we need to be very clear about this verse, that this verse would not be a problem to us. And it is very interesting. If you see, what does the verse say concerning what we have? Whenever you come together, each one has a psalm. Oh, we never thought about a psalm. Yes, of course we need to praise the Lord, but, oh, that's for the Lord's table. No, we can praise the Lord anytime. With a psalm. Well, today, maybe not with a psalm, but with a hymn. The Lord may touch you with a hymn. And it has a teaching of the teacher, has a revelation of the prophet, has a tongue, has an interpretation. Again, there are two rules for us to speak. First, we should only speak Christ. But second, let all things be done for building up. Amen. So, that means we all can speak. And we will get into that a little later. We can have things like mentioned in this verse, from the Lord and of the Lord. How? Through our experience of Him, or through our enjoyment of His Word, and through fellowship with Him in prayer. So I encourage all those who may be frustrated. You have a way to speak Christ, even if you don't have the revelation of the prophet. Praise the Lord. We all can speak Christ. So according to the stress and the emphasis of Corinthians, all the five things listed here should be focused on Christ. Christ is the center of God's New Testament economy. So He has to be everything to us concerning our speaking. So I hope that that is clear. Then, as I mentioned before, it has to be done for building up. So, again, let me emphasize, we need to prepare when we come to a meeting. And by prepare, not just pray. Of course, we have to pray. Lord, give me something to share in the meeting. But we have to prepare in the Word. Prepare in whatever the Lord speaks to us, that the Lord will be more real in our living, in our daily living, that we could enlarge from the morning watch to our daily living, that we should not have a two-faced life. Morning watch, then our daily living separately. But may our daily living be really enriched by the morning watch. So then, whenever we come together, we will have something. Again, here Paul is so exacting, you might say, so demanding, you might say, because whenever you come together, each one, not just some, not just when you had such a living morning watch that you felt you were in the third heavens, if you didn't have that kind of a morning watch, we should aspire, we should desire, we should long to come to the meeting with something. You know, long, long time ago, when I started going to Anaheim for the training, and of course it's a long trip and so forth, whenever I came to the church meeting in Anaheim, Lord, I come so far. Don't allow me to be mute. Give me something to share. We have to have such a desire, all of us, even if we're a small potato, even if nobody knows our name, even if it's the first time we come, we need to desire to speak for the Lord. And then the fact that Paul mentions Psalm first means that we need to praise the Lord. We should praise the Lord all the time, not just the Lord's Day. And later on, we will also see that we need to thank the Lord all the time. So then that brings us to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 15, let's read that verse together. Okay, truth here means more than what is not a lie. Truth here means things that are true. What are the things that are true? Christ and the church. So this is what we should hold on to when we speak. Hold the truth. But in love, you know, it is possible to hold the truth not in love and to chop each other with the truth. Oh, you don't know this. Oh, why you don't have this? No, it has to be in love. And which love? Ah, the love that we saw in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, which is the love of Christ, the love of God in us, for us to love Him and for us to love one another. So, we hold on to truth in love. But how sweet and wonderful when Christ be everything to us. We really need to progress, that Christ could increase in us, that we had more of Christ. Then our living will be filled with calling, speaking, singing, praising, thanking. So may we also desire this. Then in the meeting we can release our spirit and share Christ. In this verse, it tells us, that we may grow up into Him. We should grow up into Christ. But very interesting, we will see also that in verse 16, it tells us, out from whom? Who is that whom? Out from the Christ who is the head. All the body is built together. And each one has a portion. So we need to grow in Christ. As we grow in Christ, we grow in the life of God. As we grow in the life of God, the church is built up. The church is built up by the life of God, not by other things. So we need to speak Christ. We hold on to truth in love. Growing into Christ in some things. Is that right? All things. So that is not so easy. To hold on to truth in love and to grow up into Christ in all things. And it mentions who is the head, Christ. So as we grow into Christ, He has to be our head. He has to be our Lord. But we have to remember, actually, He is the head of the body. So we shouldn't grow in Christ apart from the body. That's very difficult. It should be in the body. But grow into Christ in all things. I don't know about you, but I can tell you about myself. Grow into Christ in all things. To me, the hardest thing to grow into Christ is speaking. Why do I say this? You know, when something goes wrong, we say something. When we get offended, you know, it's instantaneous. The word comes out, and then you can't call it back. So there is a wonderful psalm. Sorry, I didn't put it in the list. Psalm 141:3 says, "Set a watch, O Jehovah, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips." Lord, set a watch before my mouth. You know, regardless of who we are, what we are, our flesh is all the same. And our flesh wants to get even when things don't agree with the flesh. We have to forget about that. We have to pray that the Lord would set a watch before our mouth. And then verse 16. Let's read verse 16. Out from whom all the body, being joined together and being knit together through every joint of the rich supply, and through the operation in the measure of each one part, causes the growth of the body unto the building up itself in love. Sorry, I ran away ahead of myself. I already mentioned that we grow into Christ, but we function out from Christ for the building up of the body of Christ. So our growth in life is to grow into the head, Christ, but our function in the body is to function out of the of Christ, out from what we have grown into Christ. I enjoyed what our brother shared, that a baby can't say very much. A little boy can say a little more. We need to have a lot to say concerning Christ. The growth of the body is the increase of Christ in the church. This results in the building up of the church. So we need to grow so that we can build up the church. Praise the Lord. So that brings us to Ephesians 5:18 through 20. Let's read these verses together. And do not
be drunk with wine, in which is dissoluteness, but be filled in spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and harmony with your
heart to the Lord, giving thanks at all times for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to our God and Father. So here we see that we need to be filled in spirit. When I was a new believer, I had trouble with this. What does it mean to be filled in spirit? And what I thought is, because it tells us that Timothy really was such an example to Paul. And that in one verse, in some verses, it says that what Timothy had was because Paul laid his hands on him. So I say, oh, yes. Should be laid hands on. I was laid hands on, made no difference at all. So it's not things that you do outwardly that will enable you to be filled with Christ in spirit. It's what we do every day seeking the Lord that enables us to be filled with Christ in spirit. Then we can speak the riches. We can speak the riches of Christ in verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and psalming with your heart to the Lord. Oh, here it says we can speak with hymns. Well, whether we speak with hymns or we speak with a word, the point is our speaking has to be Christ. But verse 20, saints, is very crucial. I am very, very burdened for verse 20. We need to give thanks every day. We need to give thanks moment by moment. The Lord is so gracious with us. The Lord takes care of us. You know, many times as we drive, somebody crosses our path irresponsibly, but somehow the Lord prevented us from having an accident. We need to thank the Lord. Many times we just take it for granted. Oh, wonderful. No, we need to thank the Lord. Amen. We need to give thanks to the Lord. Amen. We need to praise the Lord. Amen. We need to remember when the people of Israel were surrounded by the people Moab, the armies covered the whole land. What did Jehoshaphat do? He told the priest to praise the Lord. And then God took care of the situation. So we need to praise and we need to thank, that the Lord would give us a thankful heart. And you know, actually, when you thank the Lord for something, I don't know about you, but I feel happy when I thank the Lord, because he deserves to be thanked. And that is such a help to us, to give thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That means we are one with the Lord. The name means the person. So then let's go to Colossians chapter 2, verse 17. 2:7. Being established in the faith, even as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Well, here it says, having been rooted and being built up in him. That is quite an expression, being rooted and built up. We need to be rooted in Christ so that we can receive the riches of Christ, like the plant. But also, we need to be built up in him. But then it says, being established in the faith. The faith is our belief. Our faith, which, of course, when you analyze, is really Christ's faith. We don't have any faith. When we're right with the Lord and in fellowship with him, what happens? Abounding in thanksgiving. We have a lot of thanksgiving when we're right with the Lord, when we experience more of the Lord, and when we're abounding in thanksgiving, we become established in the faith. That's not a small thing. What I have experienced is that when I am thankful, I appreciate the Lord. The more I appreciate the Lord, the more I love the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we need to be thankful people, that we never let go of anything the Lord does to us, no matter how small. Thank you, Lord. Then our faith will be established. So, for that, we need to live the right kind of a life. What do I mean by that? Well, if you go to a worldly amusement, can you thank the Lord? I doubt. We shouldn't fool ourselves. We need to realize we need to be abounding in thanksgiving. Well, now we will come to a portion that may be bothering the sisters again. Let's read together 1 Corinthians 14, 34. The women should be silent in the churches. They are not permitted to speak, but they should be subject, even as the law also says. Now, that sounds terrible. That sounds like a macho spirit. Right, doesn't it? Well, if we consider a little more, actually, we need to see that the Bible tells us that the sisters can prophesy. according to 1 Corinthians 11:5, according to Acts 2:17 and 18, and Acts 21:9, we see that there were women prophesying. The women can be prophets. So then, what's the meaning of this verse? That and there should be no speaking. The women should be silent. Well, we need to do a little search. You know, we need to realize that the best way to expound the Bible is by the Bible itself and of the Bible. So we find in 1 Timothy 2:12 that women are not permitted to teach. But from the context, we realize what it means is to teach with authority, to declare what are the right doctrines. So this is what the woman should not do. But surely they can prophesy. So this is according to the authority ordained by God all the way from Genesis. You may say, well, why can't sisters define doctrine? Well, Eve defined some doctrine and we got into a big mess because of it. Eve told Adam how to eat the wrong tree. So actually that shouldn't be a problem to the sisters. They can speak everything else but not declare how doctrine is. So we need to realize this verse should not be taken in isolation, but according to what the Bible says. And finally, let's come to verse 37, 1 Corinthians 14:37. Let's read it together. If anyone thinks he is a prophet or spiritual, let him fully know the things which I write to you, that they are the commandment of the Lord. The verse here tells us that to be a prophet or to be spiritual is quite high. Actually, if you look at the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians 12:28, a prophet is second to the apostle. And we also see this in 1 Corinthians 4. So actually to be a prophet is quite high. You have to have revelation. And revelation has to be something new. But don't worry. We can all speak Christ, even if we cannot speak revelation. So sisters, be encouraged. Amen. And sisters, do speak. For there's plenty for us to speak of our beloved Christ. Amen. Amen. I'll stop here.
That probably also summarizes that testimony we just heard about the dark spot and the black spot on the white paper. What I want to say, I want to bless a little bit about this morning's speaking. Okay, I want to, and I think the point is that when you want to strengthen the burden that's shared, I think it is always good to emphasize the positive and what you learn or you benefit from. rather than bring out the question or the negative point. Right. Now, what I want to say is this. I think it is quite, to me, was important. I'm very glad that the brothers who have read the whole portion, and not only they read the whole portion, I'm very glad that Brother Ed did not skirt to avoid verse 34. And I know that some saints were waiting to hear how you're going to explain this verse. And though this is always a very difficult verse, our brother just, he quoted from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. But I'm not going to, mainly the point is that not on the points of doctrinal truth that the sisters should teach. But what I want to point out is this, briefly. Abraham mentioned that prophesying is very much related to the exercise of the Spirit.
Right.
And he mentioned that the function of the Spirit is to sanctify us and to anoint us so that it may overflow. I think that is really wonderful in this sense, because this is very much related to the matter of speaking. The speaking should be the sanctifying of the after the sanctifying of the Spirit, and after the anointing of the Spirit. Sometimes, of course, the Spirit asks, moves us to speak. Sometimes the Spirit moves us not to speak. But he uses 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 19 and 20, do not quench the Spirit. Now, please notice this, that when you say about quenching, it's almost a silencing, okay? So do not quench the Spirit. So therefore, if the Spirit should move you or anoint you to speak, that's not the time not to speak, okay? And also, he said, do not despise the prophecy. And of course, Brother Ed also mentioned that here, in the matter of prophecy, that everyone is encouraged. So, but the point I want to emphasize, which I think is very important, well, I want to bless on this point, that is that a brother mentioned that when you try to understand the scriptures, you need to see the whole context, okay? And this point has not been brought out this morning, so let me use this opportunity to bring it out. Verse 34, 14:34. The women should be silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but they should be subject even as the law also says. Now, what I want to point out to you is that when you read the whole context, I don't know whether you noticed that this is the third time of this portion that mentioned should be silent. So please go back to verse 28. Okay. Verse 28, it says, but if there is no interpreter, he should be silent in the church and speak to himself and to God. And verse 30, but if anything is revealed to another sitting by, the first should be silent.
Right.
But I want to go back actually to verse 26. Okay, now verse 26 is very interesting. What then, brothers? Okay, now please notice the word brothers. Paul singled out the brothers. Paul didn't say saints. Paul didn't say sisters. But so the following verses is speaking specifically to the brothers, okay? So what then, brothers, whenever you come together? Now, actually, this was referring to all those brothers who come together, right? Brothers, when you come together, each one has. We always say, well, this verse says that each one has. But he specifically mentioned about the brothers, okay? Okay?
Right.
Now, verse 27, if anyone speaks in a tongue. Now, please notice this verse follows verse 26. If anyone speaks in a tongue, particularly he's mentioning about the brothers who speak in tongues, it should be by two or at the most by three, or at most three, and in turn, and one should interpret. But if there is no interpreter, he should be silent. Please notice the pronoun he. Didn't say she, right? So you see, this is completely consistent in this context, this verse in 28 should be silent, was referring more to the brothers first. So brothers, remember that when Paul wrote about this portion, he first talked to the brothers, should be silent. That is, if there's no interpreter, okay? And he should be silent in the church and speak to himself and to God. And as to prophets, two or three should speak and others discern. Of course, as to prophets here, we're saying, I mean, you might say it is following verse 26, it's all to the brothers, but also you can say it is applying to both brothers and sisters. Verse 30, but if something is revealed to another sitting by, the first should be silent. Okay, this is the second time. And then the third time, of course, in verse 34, that the women should be silent in the church. So what does it mean? Okay, so three times Paul mentioned about should be silent. Meaning in the church meeting, the circumstances apply both to the brothers and the sisters. Certain times they should be silent. Now, how do you know you should be silent? Do not quench the spirit. Right. Do not despise the prophecy. That is why I think it was very good that the brothers spoke from the context of this verse. Okay, now, of these three should be silent, the first one, verse 28, means that if somebody speaks a tongue, right, and there is no interpreter, then you are like a barbarian to those who do not understand.
Right.
That is not for the building up of the church. Mm. That's the time you should be silent. Do you follow my point? Okay. And so therefore, because the speaking in the church meetings must be for the building up of the body. Now, if you have received a revelation, if you receive a tongue, you want to speak, seek for there be an interpretation. Otherwise, should be silent, okay? And that specifically applied to the brothers, because right, he spoke to the brothers, okay? And then verse 30, then if something is revealed to another one sitting by, the first should be silent, meaning that one must be sensitive to the Spirit. This is what our brother mentioned, do not quench the Spirit, because the Spirit not only sanctifies us, but the Spirit also anoints us. And if when you are, if you feel anointed, you should speak, but then someone sitting next to you receive a revelation, the anointing of the Spirit in you will stop, so that you can be silent and let the next one to speak. Mm-hmm. You see, the matter of about should be silent, it is conditional, because the Spirit is moving and the Spirit right, is working among the saints. So if we are sensitive to the Spirit, then we know when we should speak and when we should be silent. And then, of course, verse 34, I think it is very clear that women should be silent in the church, for they are not permitted to speak, but they should be subject even as law also say. I mean, Brother Ed mentioned about 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, verse 35, but if they desire to learn anything, they should ask their own husbands at home, for it is a shame for a woman to speak in the church. In other words, this particular time, and in the third time, when said well, the women should be silent, meaning the sisters should be properly covered. Okay, properly covered. Right. Actually, our covering right, is really the Spirit. Yeah. Our covering is really our head, which is Christ. Okay, and in the sister's case, that's why he mentioned that he should first ask their own husbands at home. So, you see, dear brothers and sisters, when should we speak? When should we not speak? I think these three examples are very clear. That is, when we honor the Spirit,
amen,
it's moving in the meetings, then we all know how to conduct ourselves. Right. We all know how to conduct ourselves, when to speak and when not to speak.
Right.
Then we really practice what our brother suggested or mentioned, that do not quench the spirit and do not despise the prophecy. I think if that is the case, you see, all the speakings in the church meetings should be blessed.
Right.
We all should well speak on these speakings.
Amen.
And you know, nobody can speak completely, so therefore, when you are touched by the sharing, you should come in to strengthen it.
Amen.
I don't believe that many speakings have black spots, but anyway, don't focus on the black spots. Focus on the white sheet, okay? So I think even our brother's testimony was very, very good. It really helps to strengthen this particular burden. So I hope starting from this new year that we will all well speak on each other speaking in the church meetings.
Expect the Lord.